Romans chapter 16 this evening, if you stand with me please, reading verse 1 and 2, continuing in our character study. We're going to look at Phoebe tonight in these two verses. There's about 50 words here that sum up her life. She was a devoted Christian. As a matter of fact, when we come here, her name is mentioned first in a list of over 20 saints as the Apostle Paul closes this letter, who were faithful witnesses, and five of those were women. I think there's a total of five here. And we've preached on Priscilla and Aquila, but we've got here, notice as we read from verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she has been a great succorer of many and of myself also. Father, we thank Thee this evening again for Thy privilege that You've allowed us tonight to be able to assemble together. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the truths that You've given to us. We thank You for this book. And we pray tonight as we come to this chapter, Lord, we pray for Your blessings, Your anointing upon the reading of Holy Scripture. And Father, we pray that as we consider this great woman in the faith, Lord, that we'll be blessed by it. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have known many Phoebes over the years, and as a Christian and especially as a pastor. My wife has never really liked her first name. Some of you may not even know her first name. And she's not really liked it. And so the other day, a few days back, I told her, I said, I'm going to give you a new name. She said, what's that? I said, Phoebe Darlene. And so she has been a Phoebe. I've known a many. Thank God for women that love the Lord. You cannot have a church without the sisters. And that's what this woman is called here. Now, there's three words the Apostle Paul uses, a very simple, really outline, I think, that he's given us. There's three words that he used to describe her, and all three of these start with an S. They'll be easy to remember, and that's what we're going to use tonight. Is first of all, she is a sister, and she is a servant. I hope I pronounced that right. She is a succorer. Heard that pronounced about four or five different ways. We don't use that word much or any really today, but it's a good word. We find that as we come here to this text, again, her name is mentioned first in a list of over 20 saints that the Apostle Paul recognized as he closed this letter. When I think of Phoebe and all the others that are mentioned here, years back we talked through the book of Romans and covered some of these. I think of those who stayed by the stuff in 1 Samuel 30 in verses 23 through 25. And David had allowed the spoils to be divided equally between those who went into battle and those who stayed by the stuff. And thank God for people who stay by the stuff. There many think that preachers and missionaries are going to get all of the rewards. They may not get as many as some of the other people who stay by the stuff. And Proverbs 22 and verse 1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Phoebe had a good name. Her name was placed in Holy Scripture. Her name means radiant, bright, shining. That's what her name means. Now, as we come here to this letter, the letter to the Romans, written from Corinth, and it was either sent by Phoebe or she accompanied those that took this letter to Rome. And again, we see the importance of women when it comes to the Lord's work. They're greatly important. They were important to God. They were important to the apostles. and especially here with the Apostle Paul. And you'll notice now, as we come to verse 1, and by the way, if she had not hazarded her life and took this trip, we might not have the book of Romans. It could have been written and could have never been delivered. Have you ever written a letter and then not get delivered? And so it's got to be delivered before it's effective and can be used. Notice in verse 1 again, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. The word commend means to recommend. She was commendable. It means to recommend as worthy of confidence, trustworthy, to speak well of, to praise. And notice it says, and I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. This city was a seaport town about 10 miles east of Corinth, and it was probably one of the outreaches of the Apostle Paul while he spent about a year and a half at Corinth. As a matter of fact, you don't have to turn there, but in Titus, as he's writing this letter to Titus, he says in verse 5, he said, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee." And so as Paul ministered in Corinth for about a year and a half, this church here came into existence probably because of his ministry there. The one would have been one of the outreach ministries, a little fishing port. Notice now, as we come here again to verse 1, and notice first of all, and I'm not going to run too many verses on this, but I want you to notice she is referred to as our sister. That's very important because we see that she is a member of not only God's church, she is a saint of God, and she is identified here as a true believer when she's referred to as a sister. Galatians 3:26 and 27, we find that the brothers and sisters that are in Jesus Christ, this shows her status as a child of God. And no one could deny her testimony, could deny her faith and her conduct. In other words, she had a good testimony according to what we see here. She was converted and was well known in her church and also in other places as a true believer. The Bible refers in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 12, sisters being Christians, we got brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians 9:5, the Apostle Paul refers to a sister or a wife. 2 Corinthians 6:18, the Bible speaks of sons and daughters of God. And then in James 2:15, uses the expression a brother or a sister. And again, she is either delivered the letter Paul wrote to the Romans, or either she accompanied those that carried the letter. She played a role in this. Now, secondly, we use the word sister. That means she was saved. She's in the Lord. I use this word a lot. I think it's a good word. I use the word brother a lot with you brothers in the church. And I use the word sister. Sometimes I use the name. A lot of times I use the word sister because it's saying that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's consider this word servant for a few moments. Notice as we come to verse 1 again, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. She was a servant, not only a member of a church, but she served in this church. And she served others even outside this church. She was trustworthy. She was dependable. That's what we mean by a servant. And this is a great virtue. I want you to think about this. To be a servant. For the Apostle Paul to call her a servant. I'm going to show you in a moment he called himself a servant. The great apostle said he's a servant. And but she was trustworthy. She was very dependable. Now, this word servant, and I'm going to just give you a quote. here, the same Greek root word is translated deacon, which has led some to believe she was a deaconess, but the word here is used in an unofficial sense as a helper. In other words, she served in a way similar to 1 Timothy 5:10. You remember the story there of the widows that would be brought into the assembly, and it gives the qualifications, you know, for them. She was not a deaconess in an official sense at all, but she served tables, as we would say, of those who would be elected to the office of a deacon. She was very faithful and dedicated to her work. Now notice as we come to verse 2, and we'll in just a moment look at some verses on a servant. Notice in verse 2 he said that you receive her in the Lord. Notice that, receive her, welcome her. Welcome her into the church. Welcome her into the church there at Rome. I don't know where she's going there for a short period of time or to stay. Whatever the case, to welcome her into the church. Welcome her into your home. And he says, as become a saint. In other words, in a worthy manner, do this. But he also says, and we don't know what business she had there, unless she did carry the letter or whatever. But he says, and also that ye assist her in whatsoever business she has need of. In other words, she had some kind of business in Rome. Again, probably part of that, bringing this letter. But they were to help her. They were to bless her, be a blessing to her, because she would have been a stranger in Rome. And so they were to assist her in whatever manner they could. Now, we'll come back to this a little later, but notice in Romans, in the book of Romans, in chapter 1. Let's talk about this word servant. This word servant. Notice with me in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 1. Brother Lavelle, last night, we've got that picture hanging in the hallway with all the attributes and so forth of the Lord. And he asked me, he said, which one of those do you think is the greatest? And I picked out 5 or 6. And, you know, talked about the Lord being an advocate and several other things. And he pointed out, he said, servant. I have to agree with him. The Lord, that's probably one of the greatest things we find in the Scripture. And I told him, I said, I'm going to be using some verses with Paul and all the saints and Christ, you know, this evening. And Christ is mentioned several times as serving and being a servant. That's humbling when you think about it. The Creator and Redeemer of heaven and earth humbled Himself, you know, even to the point of washing the feet of His disciples. Notice in chapter 1 and verse 1, this is not the only time that Paul would say this. He says it many times. In this book, he'd say it again in chapter 15 and verse 31. But as he starts this letter, the Apostle Paul says, he not only said Phoebe was a servant, but he says in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Notice the third word, the Apostle Paul said, I am a servant. In other words, I am totally surrendered to my Master and willing to follow Him and serve Him. That's amazing. That's profound to me. And the great apostle that gives us most of the New Testament, gives us 14 letters in the New Testament, he's saying, I am a humble servant of the Lord. Notice with me in chapter 6. This is, we were in this chapter recently, not too many weeks ago. And I'll just read a few verses. But notice as we come here to chapter 6 and verse 16 through 22, we all are to be servants. All the saints are to be servants. I'm going to begin reading in chapter 6 from verse 16 down to about verse 22. He says here, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Remember this morning? You're going to serve one or the other, be loyal to one or the other. You know, there's two groups of people that live in this world. He goes on to say in verse 17, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after this, after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield yourselves servants to righteousness and holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." Now look at verse 22. "But now, being made free from sin, you became servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life." A great accomplishment to consider ourselves as servants and to be yielded to our Master. This morning, I mentioned to you about the servants in the book of Revelation. I'm not going to ask you to turn there. I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 28. But I want to give you some more verses that I mentioned this morning. I want you to listen to these. In Revelation 1 and verse 1, this book starts out this way. And it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants." Show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. We find, as we work our way through this book, again in chapter 6 and in verse 11. These are those that have been slain for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. In verse 9 and 10, they're crying out to God, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, doth Thou not avenge or not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And He said in verse 11, "White robes were given to every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." Fellow servants. We find it again in chapter 11 and verse 18. Chapter 11 and verse 18, this is after mentioning about the seventh trumpet and the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our Lord. But He said here in verse 18, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged." This is the second coming of Christ. "And that thou shouldest give reward unto the servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them that destroy the earth." There's a time coming when the servants will be rewarded. Paul, Phoebe, any of us who are willing to serve Him. We find this again in chapter 19 and verse 2. We actually read here this morning, chapter 19 and verse 2, and also chapter 19 and in verse 5. It says in verse 5, "A voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great." And then in chapter 22, so this book is written to servants. Chapter 22, we find this word twice, and it says here in verse 3, it says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And He said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done." The Lord writes the last book of the Bible to His servants. Well, notice in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, and the context would begin in verse 25, but let me just read verse 28. We find here in this passage, He says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. The Lord Jesus Christ came as a servant to minister unto others. And I want to illustrate this in John chapter 13, if you'll turn there with me. And I'm going to give you just a few other verses if you're interested. Matthew 6 and verse 24, none of us can serve two masters, can't serve God and mammon. And also, we find that in Philippians 2:7, you can write this down. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, it says this, I'm just going to begin in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with Him, with God, but made Himself of no reputation. Boy, we as human beings always are trying to make a reputation. We want to be known for something. And He says, and took upon Him the form of, this is the Creator of heaven and earth, took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as man, He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then we find His exaltation, verse 9, 10, and in verse 11. We'll see this again, by the way, in Matthew 12, if you're taking notes. Matthew 12, 18. The surrounding context is verse 14 through 21, but this is a quotation out of the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah 42, 1. Matthew 12, 18, behold my servant, my servant. You see, the Pharisees wanted to take counsel against Him in verse 14 and 15. He's healing. He's doing the work of God. He said, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon Him, and He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. You know what it says in the following verses? He shall not strive. He shall not be a rebel. He'll not be rioting and protesting. He said, nor cry. He was as a lamb that went to the slaughter. And He says, neither shall any man hear His voice in the streets. It says, a bruised reed shall He not break. Bruised reed represents weak things. And Christ did not crush weak things, but He had compassion on them. And a smoking flax, that's the flax is a plant or herb, smoking flax shall He not quench. He didn't come to destroy or to condemn. He came to heal and to save and to redeem. And it goes on to say in verse 21, and in His name shall the Gentiles trust. But one of the greatest passages on our Savior, now when you think about our Savior, think about Paul, think about Phoebe, think about the people we have known in our life or in this church who have given their lives to serving the Lord. Just being a humble servant. There's great rewards for that. As a matter of fact, Matthew 24, 46, we read that last week in our sermon on the days of Noah. Wonderful passage. There is rewards for those who will be faithful and serve the Lord and walk with Him. God has promised that He would bless that servant whom His Lord, when He cometh, shall find so doing. Wonderful thing. But notice in John 13. Now we know the story here. This is the upper room. And I refer to it as the upper room discourse, and others do as well. The night before the crucifixion, the night of His trial and arrest. And if you were to begin reading from verse 1, you'll find that He loved His own. He loved them unto the end. And you'll find here also that in verse 4, as He rises from supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. In other words, as a servant. What He did, He humbled Himself and He washed the feet of the disciples. And you'll notice that as we come down in verse 13, beginning here, in verse 13, and by the way, He commanded His disciples, His believers, His followers, in verse 34 and 35, to love one another as He has loved us. He said, this will be the mark of discipleship. He said, by this, in verse 35, shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. It's not who can quote the most verses. It's not who knows the most doctrine. It has to do with truly a biblical, godly charity love that we find in Scripture. That compassion for one another. And you notice verse 13, you call me Master and Lord. And again, that shows us that we're servants. He's our Master. We're slaves. But we're slaves to a good Master. And He says here in verse 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, notice, happy are you if you do them. So He's our greatest example, and I usually will go to 1 Peter 2, verse 23, 24, 25, and where that He submitted Himself to the Father. He's actually called our example in sufferings in that chapter. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 21, not turning there, the servant of God, the Lord, when He comes back, a faithful servant, He say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So we have many passages on this. Have you ever done any study on the unprofitable servant? I've got a message on that. Luke 19:10. What is an unprofitable servant? Well, it's someone who only does what they have to do to get by. And all of us that raise children, we know that there's times, clean your room, do this, pick up your toys, whatever. And not all children maybe, but many will only do what they just absolutely have to. And there's a lot of adults do the same thing. Just enough to get by. And the Lord says, just refer you to yourself as an unprofitable servant. If you're just going to do enough to just get by. In other words, we're to go beyond the call of duty as a servant. And it's illustrated in that chapter. Colossians 3, verse 23 through 25 speaks of a servant's reward. If we do things unto the Lord, let me just read that to you. And we're to do things unto the Lord. I'm going to read from chapter 3. First of all, verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Verse 23. Well, let me back up. Yeah, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. For whatsoever you do, do it heartily, that is, sincerely. And He says, as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing this of the Lord, that you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So God has promised us rewards. Phoebe has a reward. How do we know Paul had a reward? He tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And he says, I know that I have a crown. Fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And he says, I know. We can know if we just be faithful and be humble and serve Him. We are to have a servant's heart. That is the big picture. You know, like Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, you know, and they're ministering to the Lord Jesus and His apostles. He was in their home often. We see that in Acts 9:36 and some of the women that are mentioned there. Well, let's come to the last thing. If you want to turn back, you can. If not, that's okay. You turn back because I want to use another verse in Romans as well. I want to use Romans chapter 15 after we read this. And let's come back. Let's read these two verses together again. It says here in verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she had need of you. For she has been a succorer of many and of myself also. Notice, she has been a help. Not a few. but many. And notice Paul said not only to them, but he said of myself also. I want you to think about this, and I'll give you two other verses that just come to mind if I can find them. One is going to be in Philippians chapter 3, coming back to this subject of the apostles and the Lord and their praise of sisters in the Lord. Philippians, I found one of them. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers, there's that word again, whose names are in the book of life. Paul is saying there's women that aided and helped him in labor for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then there's another passage. Let me see if I can find it. I'm not going to find it. The passage where that Mary and Susanna and Joanna that are mentioned are the women, several women that helped the Lord Jesus Christ in His ministry. If somebody knows where that's at, you can call it out, and then it can be... let me try one other passage here. Luke 8. Okay, here it is. Listen to this. Luke 8, 1, 2, and 3. This is a wonderful passage. And these are women who followed the Lord Jesus and aided and assisted. It says, it came to pass that He went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with Him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto Him of their substance. Many women followed the Lord and ministered unto Him and His disciples. Well, notice now in chapter 16 of Romans, and we'll read here and close in chapter 15, this word in verse 2, succorer, this word basically means to aid, to comfort, to help others, and it means one who stands by another that's in need. That's Phoebe. And here's a quote, and they're using the classical Greek in the Olympic Games, but it says, from classic Greek describing a trainer in the Olympic Games who stood by the athletes to see that they were properly trained. In other words, it's one who stands by another. So a succorer is someone who, again, this is a worldly illustration, but someone who is a trainer, staying by somebody's side and training them and seeing to it that they perform properly. Well, in the spiritual arena, Phoebe was a sister who aided and assisted and helped many and was a great help to the Apostle Paul. It's someone who will relieve somebody else's burdens, help them, give them assistance in time of need. Chapter 15 and in verse 14. And by the way, Christ was not only a servant. Hebrews 2:12, He was a succorer. He became a great comfort. He became a great comfort. That word is used again in 2 Corinthians 6, and in verse 2, you probably have no need for the Greek word that's translated there, but it's prostatis. I'm sure that helped you a whole lot in your understanding of it. Now, notice as we come to our last text, I'm going to show you what the Apostle Paul said about the whole church of Rome. I was thinking, as I was looking at this week, and I was thinking about Job 16:1, where that Job's friends were called miserable comforters. That's the opposite of what we're talking about here tonight in our text. They were miserable comforters. And Job's friends were fantastic until they opened their mouth. When they came and sat down with their friend and just sat there, 7 days, they were a comfort to Job. It's when they opened their mouth. What kind of sin have you been living in, Job? You've had to be living in some kind of sin for this horrible thing to happen to you. Have you ever had Christians do that to you? It's kind of a sad thing. I've learned things from this, and many times in the ministry, I've done this many times, I've went to somebody's aid and sometimes never say a whole lot. We had a man in his 90s years ago die here in church, died in his bed. Used to sit right over here, a delightful man, enjoyed being around him. He was a barber for 75 years. And he died one night. And I went in and just sat with the family and helped them carry him out when they came to get him and so forth. Didn't say a whole lot. I've done that many times. We had a man in our church in Central Alabama. He got sick. His wife was wore out. She would not let anybody, not even relatives, stay. But she would let me stay. And I'd just go every other night for probably 6 weeks or so. I'd go and I would just sit in the hospital beside him, pray with him and things like that. And sometimes you don't really need to say a whole lot. When somebody's hurting, you just need to be there. You don't necessarily need to become in quoting Scripture. And sometimes that's good, and sometimes you just need to be there. Not too many years ago, I got a call one night. Brother Reed is crying on the other end of the phone, crying. I did not know who they were. Brother Reed, we need you. We need you now. It's already night. I was in bed. I had got out of bed. We need you now. You've got to come. And I said, well, who is this? And they gave him the name. And I told Ernest, I don't know them. I don't know them. And so anyway, and so I talked to her and I said, well, where do you live at? Well, you've got to come now. My son has died. And he was over in Mississippi and he died. And I said, well, I'm getting ready, but tell me how to get there. What's your name again? Brother Reed, do you know us? You know, and came to your church. And so my wife and we got dressed, and I think she got on the phone. I said, I don't know these people. We drove up there. Probably 9, 10 o'clock at night. We stayed with them to probably 1 o'clock in the morning. And I pulled up. I said, I've never been here in my life. Don't know anybody. We got up. The whole yard was full of people. The house was full of people. I didn't know. I said, find somebody we know. Find somebody we know. And I got the name of the man that died and the mother's name and everything. I said, find somebody that we know. Not one soul that we'd ever met in that house that night. We went in. Crying. Tears. We spent till after midnight hugging on people. We don't know them. My wife is crying and tears and hugging on the mother and the wife of this guy. And I'm praying with people. We spent hours there. We don't know them. We still don't know them to this day. And his wife came in and she had a picture. And she come walking over the table and I just reached out and got it. I took it. I wanted to see who died. And I looked up at Darlene and I said, I don't know him. We spent that night, and when we left, and there were some people looking at us. I don't know them. And we left that night confused, but we comforted and aided the people and cried with them and prayed with them. And my wife was with the mother and hug. I mean, and so we left there, and all of us looked strange at each other. They didn't know us. We didn't know them. We left. We found out the next day that they called the wrong preacher. They hadn't been in church in years. And the other preacher, his name, first name was Reed. And I don't even think he pastored that church anymore. Romans 15:14. I've had somebody, you ought to write a book. We've had so many things like that. Some of them are sad and some are humorous. Notice as Paul writing to this church, notice the wonderful thing. We have a whole sermon on this one verse. I love this verse. And notice how he felt about this church. He said, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren." Now look at the three things. "That you also are full of goodness." That's one of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. Goodness. He said, "And filled with all knowledge." And then he says, "Able." Now here we go. "Able also to admonish one another." That is, to stir up one another, to remind one another, to warn one another, to help one another, to comfort one another. A wonderful passage. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this evening again for Your love, Your mercy, Your grace, Your kindness. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, help us to believe it and help us to live it. Help us to be doers of the Word. Father, we just pray now that Your blessings upon the remainder of the service as we sing. And Lord, as we have closing prayer, in Christ Jesus' name, amen.